Take your Bibles, if you would. I don't want to start on a downer, right? John chapter number 4, verse 39 through 42. John 4, 39 through 42. We have spent almost half a year, 26. What is this? Is this 26? It is? 26. 20. Oh, this is a 26. Is this a 26 message? 20. What is it? 28. 28 messages in the Gospel according to John. We're still in chapter number 4. So it's going to be a little while. But it's good, right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are preparing to read. It is your word. It has absolute, complete authority. These are the words of God. And God, I pray that you would help us to bow to them and submit to them and rejoice in them. God, I pray that as we open your word, that you would reveal yourself in such a way that it would cause us to worship you in a more deeper way, that our praise of you would be increased and our marvel of you would be enhanced because of the time we will spend in your word this morning. So, God, may this be a time where we continue to worship you. We continue to exalt you. We continue to marvel at who you are. And God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our eyes to see your glory. Be with me this morning. Let your people hear a better message than will be preached. And God, for your glory, do it all. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city, Sychar, believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And all God's people said, amen. Well, last week we sort of said we were peeking in on a class that Jesus was teaching to his disciples as the woman who was converted at the well went to town. It's just Jesus and his disciples, and he began to teach them on the subject of evangelism. And we saw that Jesus taught them about spiritual meat, and the spiritual meat for Christ was his doing his Father's will and finishing his Father's work. And of course, we know that was Christ coming and doing everything that was required so that we who believe in him might be saved. I'm glad it's all done by Christ. And the conversion of this Samaritan woman was the satisfying meat that Jesus was talking about. It was his leading this woman to see her need of a Savior, and then seeing him as her Savior. That's what was more important to him than physical food. Then we saw Jesus teaching on spiritual mindedness. There is to be a sharing of Christ by his people, and we are to do that with a sense of urgency. We always think we have a next time. We always think we have next week or next month. But Jesus says the harvest is now. We are not to allow the physical busyness of our lives to crowd out the spiritual necessity that we are to share Christ. And then finally, we saw that Jesus taught on spiritual motivation. For For those who sow and for those who reap, there are wages to receive, and there will be a rejoicing together. And it seems to me that everyone who God used to bring the gospel to me, and everyone that God used to bring the gospel to you, every word that was said, every prayer that was prayed, all of them will know one day that they were a part of that, and they will rejoice with the one that God uses to reap and add you to the kingdom of God. That will be a glorious day, amen? I would like to be part of the rejoicing of many that God gave me an opportunity to be a part of their salvation. So eternal rejoicing is the motivation for earthly sowing and reaping. And it is a wonderful thing to share in the labor of seeing souls saved. So today, we come to the end of this little story about Jesus being in Samaria, and I'm glad to tell you it's a good ending. And once we get through chapter 4, there are few good endings. After chapter 4, Jesus is rejected and turned away, but we have a happy ending here, a good ending. And so we want to look at that today. Let's begin by looking at a testifying response of the woman at the well. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city, what did they do? They believed. Now, I'm not sure the level or the depth of their believing. We'll get into that in a minute. But they certainly believed that this woman had indeed met the Christ. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for or because of the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." Now, many of the Samaritans believed that Jesus was indeed the man that this woman met at the well, was indeed the long-awaited Messiah, and they believed that based solely and only on this woman's testimony. That's what that verse is saying. They believed that he was the Messiah based on this woman's testimony. And her testimony was, "He told me all that I ever did." They had not heard Christ, had they? They had not seen Christ yet, but they believed. To some degree, they believed that he was indeed the Messiah. They believed the woman had just met the Lord by what she testifies about him. And here is my question. My question is, what kind of testimony produces that? What kind of testimony convinces people of a truth sight unseen? What kind of testimony causes people to believe something that they have not heard or have seen? That is, take her word. Now, before I get there, her testimony has a few problems. Firstly, it's a testimony of a woman. Now, you understand, in the days in which Christ lived, women were not viewed as reliable witnesses. A woman could not be a witness in the court of law. She was not deemed to be a reliable witness. But here is the witness of a woman. And Not only was it a woman, but it was an immoral woman. She had issues, right? And everyone knew about her issues. She was an immoral woman. So her testimony would not be reliable according to the culture, and she would not be viewed as a credible witness. So what made these people willing to believe on Jesus based on her testimony? Before I get there, let me just add something else. Her testimony is pretty simple, isn't it? She simply states what she saw, what she heard. He told me all that ever I did. She met a man who knew her intimately. She met a man who knew her heart, knew her past, knew her sins. She met a man that knew her like no one else knew her. And she concluded that this surely must be Christ. Who else could it be? And that's all she said. She told them about him and what he knew about her and what he said to her. So we have an unreliable witness, an uncredible witness, not credible. And then she doesn't say very much in her testimony. And they believe her about him based on that. Now, it is here that in the majority of churches, it would be customary and common for me to preach about the importance of your testimony. How you should work on your testimony. How you ought to get your testimony polished up in a way that you could articulate it in a way that many would believe on him based on your testimony. That's where many people would go. They would say, you need a good testimony. And the better your testimony is, the better chance people will believe. So what I'm asking you, because you're smart people, is that what the text is saying? I don't think it's saying that. Now, I have no doubt that this woman is excited that she has met the Christ. I have no doubt that this woman, in her excitement and in her urgency to tell others about him, she left her water pot at the well. This transformation that she has received by Christ is so real that she wants to speak Christ to everyone she meets, and everyone that she meets knows there's something different. And something has changed about this woman. I think it is true that she is so convinced that Jesus is the Messiah that her testimony itself is convincing. But here is why I think the townspeople were willing to believe this woman's testimony. Here's why I think they were willing to believe an unreliable, non-credible, simplistic testimony, unpolished. Are you ready? I think God took her testimony and empowered it by His power. I think God caused them to believe. I think God made her testimony, as simple as it was, convincing, and believable. Say amen. She is a woman. She is immoral. She doesn't say very much about Christ except that he told her all that she ever did. Why would they give her the time of day? Because God supernaturally caused it to be. It wasn't who she was. It wasn't what she said. It's God worked on their ears and what they heard. And God was working in their heart to believe what she said. I think it is the Spirit of God that is working here. And if the Spirit of God is doing a work in bringing people to Christ, if it is the work of the Spirit of God, if it is the work of the power of God, it doesn't matter if the testimony is unreliable or the one that giving it is questionable in character or if the words are less than polished. God's Spirit causes them to be relied upon and believed. So it's not her. It's not her testimony so much as it is the Spirit of God working in the hearts of those who hear the testimony. She didn't have to polish it up. She didn't have to embellish it. It was simple, but it was powerful. It was simple, but it was powerful. Why? Because the Spirit of God was working in it. She told them to come see him. Her testimony was pointing to him, and the Spirit of God was inclining their hearts toward him. And the first part of verse 40 says, and the Samaritans came to him. So, that's my question. Why would I walk 2 miles to see someone that an outcast, immoral woman says is the Messiah? Why would I believe that? Because the Spirit of God was moving in my heart to believe that. Amen? It is all a supernatural work of God from beginning to end. And most people will say, it depends on your testimony. And I'm saying, it doesn't depend upon your testimony. Amen? It depends on the power of God. God can take your feeble testimony and use it to save souls. Not because of your testimony, but because of the power of God. I heard a preacher on the radio. He was preaching a revival at one of the churches around here. And this is what he said. It might not have been radio. It might have been on a CD. I'm not sure where I heard it. He was preaching. I heard it. He said, make sure that you invite all of your friends and all of your family tomorrow night. I'm giving my testimony tomorrow night. And I think many will be saved because of my testimony. And I said, nobody will be saved because of your testimony. They will be saved because the power of God empowers your testimony. Say amen. Not us. That means I can offer an unpolished testimony and God may use it to bring glory to Him. Here's what people tell me. They say, I don't share Christ because I'm afraid I would get it wrong. I wouldn't say the right things. Do you understand? It doesn't matter if you say the right things. It matters that God empowers it. Say amen. Just tell them what you've seen and what you've heard. And let God do the work. Say amen. So, there's the testifying response. Secondly, the tarrying request, verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Now, I don't want to belabor the point here. I just want to mention this, and then we'll move on to point number 3. But I do want to quickly say this about their request that Jesus stay with them. I think it is a natural expression of the heart of those whom the Spirit of God is working to want to be with the Lord. If the Spirit of God is working in the heart of a person, if the Spirit of God is living in the heart of a person, I think it is natural that that person will want to be with the Lord. Say amen. I think where the Spirit is, there will be a desire to be with God. I don't think you have to manufacture that desire. I don't think you have to work that desire up. I think it's a natural response of a heart where the Spirit is working. God's working in their hearts. What do they want? They want Him to stay. So I don't think that you have to beg and plead and guilt people who are God's people to want to spend time with Christ. Say amen. I think the Spirit causes God's people to want to learn about Him, learn from Him, want to be around Him, want to feel His nearness, want to feel His closeness, want to get Him to know more. I think that's the natural response of God working in our hearts. I don't think I have to plead and beg and guilt people. I think one of the clear evidences that God is working is the desire to be with Him. I think one of the marks of being saved is wanting to be with Christ. Christ is not here, is He? Tangibly. But God's people are. And God's Spirit is in each believer. Say amen. So the best thing I can do here on earth is be around God's people. See, it says here, they besought Him that He would tarry with them as a group of people. And He stayed how many days? 2 days. They had church for 2 days. Can you imagine if I said, come Sunday morning, we're not leaving until Tuesday. I'm here to tell you something. I would have liked to have been there. Uninterrupted, unrushed time with Him. Does not your heart desire to be with those who desire to be with Him? Does not your heart desire to be with those who are hungry and thirsty just to know more of Him? Does not your heart desire to be with those who love Him? So instead of getting what they needed from Him and going back to their normal routines, their daily chores, their daily routine, they changed their plans. Don't you think they had plans? What did they do with their appointments? What did they do with their plans? They canceled them. Why? So they could spend time with Him. Instead of Christ interfering with their schedule is interfering with their time with Christ. Say amen. So what did they do? They adjusted their schedules. They canceled everything for 2 days simply to be with Him. And I think that if Jesus would have stayed longer, they would have stayed longer. Say amen. I think if the Spirit of God is in your heart, you want to be with Him. You want to be with His people. You want to hear preaching about Him. You want to hear exaltation about Him. You want to hear His word preached and expounded. I think that's the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Say amen. Would you stay? The one thing they wanted, would you stay? Do you remember when Christ healed the maniac of Gadara and cast all those demons into the swine, and they rushed into the ocean and drowned themselves? And the townspeople came down, and you know what they said? Would you leave? Would you leave? It's good to be around people that say, would you stay? Would you stay? Number three, the transforming result, verses 41 through 42. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard from him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So, verse 41, 42 are important to understanding verse 39. Is it important for us to give our testimonies? Yes. Is it good? Is it proper for us to give our testimonies? Yes. If we understand that they have no power to save. Say amen. Our testimonies are to point to the one who can save. But they must hear him. And they must believe his word for themselves that he is the Christ. Are you listening? Salvation is believing what God says. You can't be saved based on You can't be saved if you're basing what you believe on what I say. You have to come to faith based on what Jesus says. I think the Spirit of God enabled them to believe her that he was the Christ, but now they have believed him because of his own words. Now they believe. It's what they say. We believed you, your saying, your testimony, but now we believe his words. We believe not because of your testimony, but because we have heard him ourselves, and now we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So they heard her. But they must hear him. They believed her, but they must believe him. And we must also believe and trust what he has said. And this is really, really important. We must believe not what he has done, but what he has said. You have to rely on his word. Is there historical evidence that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Yes. How do you know that his death atones for our sins? Because of what he said. We must believe that Jesus is truth, that He speaks truth, that He has come to bear witness to the truth, that He testifies of the truth. We must believe that everything the Father says is true and that Jesus came and spoke only what the Father said, and it is truth. Do you believe what Jesus says? Better, do you trust what Jesus says? Because what Jesus says is true. And if what Jesus says is true, then His words must be believed. His words must be obeyed, and they must be received as true. So faith is believing His word, not my word, His word. Faith is trusting what He says is true. And this is why this is important. If we're not careful, especially children, will believe because their mom and dad told them about. Mom and dad says Jesus is the Messiah. Mom and dad says Jesus is the Savior. I believe mom and dad. That doesn't save them. Their belief in what you say doesn't save them. Somebody help me. You cannot believe because me as your pastor tell you about Jesus and you believe me. I trust the pastor. He says Jesus is the Savior. I believe him. That won't save you. Help me. You can't believe because your best friend told you about Jesus and you believe them. Are you with me? Salvation cannot be based solely on the testimony of another. Do you think these people would have been saved if they would have just believed a woman's testimony and not had gone down to see Christ? I think we have plenty of people who are believing the testimony of another solely. It is not because we trust someone else that they said Jesus is the Messiah. It must be I heard Him myself. I must hear Him. I must believe Him, I must trust His words for myself. Say amen. And what we say is, I can't believe for my kids. But we forget, our kids may believe us because they trust us. And that won't save them. As much as I want people to believe in Christ, as much as I want people to worship Jesus, I know that they must hear beyond me. They must hear His words, and they must believe and trust His words. So these townspeople say, we heard your words, but now we believe not because of your testimony, but because we've heard Him and we have seen Him. And He is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And I think there were many in town that believed this woman. Intellectually, they believed that this woman had met the Christ, but there were many others who believed savingly when they came to Jesus, heard Him, and believed Him. They believe based on the word of the Lord, not the word of the woman. You with me? Do you remember back at the end of chapter 2? You remember there were a group of people who the Bible says they believed on him because they saw the miracles. They saw the miracles and they believed on him. But then it said Jesus did not believe their believing, because their believing was simply because they saw miracles. And here in verse 39, there are those who believed because of the testimony of this woman. But it is those who believe because they heard him and believed him. Those are the ones that truly believed. Miracles and the testimonies of others do not save. Only when you personally hear and believe him for yourselves are you saved. You know, God put a wonderful witness in my life, in my grandmother. And she was a good witness. She was an irritating witness. But she was a good witness. And you know, because of her, I can't tell you a time that I did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And my grandmother taught me all of that stuff. I believe that intellectually. But her testimony couldn't save me. I had to hear him. I had to hear his words and believe them to be saved. Does that make sense? They believed from what they heard him say. They believed that he is the Christ based on what he said. They believed he was the Savior of the world based upon what he said, not what she said. Matter of fact, she didn't say anything about being the Savior of the world, did she? So what does that mean, Savior of the world? It means that there is only one way that anyone in the world can be saved. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not many roads going to the same place. There is one way. Christ is the Savior of the entire world. And if anyone in the world is going to be saved, it is through Christ. The entire world has one Savior, one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. It means that God sent His Son to die on the cross to save both believing Jews and believing Gentiles. It means that God sent Jesus to save even the Samaritans, if they would believe and trust in Him. It means that no one, whether Jew or Gentile, is saved unless they are saved by believing and trusting the words of Jesus Christ. It means no matter who you meet or where you meet them, they all have the same need. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means whoever you meet or wherever you meet them at, that they cannot be saved unless they are saved by the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. It means that we should offer Him to everyone. Everyone. It means the Samaritans said that Jesus Christ even saved Samaritans. And they believed Him. I don't know what the lady's name was that got saved at the well, but they said, "We heard your testimony and we believed But now we've come and we've seen Him and heard Him for ourselves, and we believe Him. We don't just believe your testimony. Your testimony has been backed up by what He says. Or we have heard His voice. We believe He's true. He is the Christ. And we believe He is the Savior of the world, including Samaritans. That's a happy ending. Amen? That's a good ending. And I appreciate the witness of my grandmother. I appreciate the witness of my wife. I appreciate the witnesses of those that were in the church. But it was when I heard and believed the words of Christ that I was saved. And that's the only way anyone's saved.